The word the Lord has placed in my heart for us today has many facets to it. It was just one particular aspect that I was concerned about. But it's the one aspect that the Lord kept on prompting me to talk about. And the reason I was challenged about it is because this particular aspect I had not taken cognition of through these 40-something years of ministry. I knew it was there, but I did not make the exact connection. And it's the kind of connection that is challenging for a minister of the gospel because of what it has to address. And somewhere in this discourse this morning, you may come into flow with me and identify which aspect of this message I was concerned about. We started out on Friday talking about a man called Barabbas, Jesus Barabbas. Jesus, Bar, son, Abbas of the Father. Jesus Barabbas was the one that Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, switched places with. And I shared with you about the fact that Jesus Barabbas, because that's the full name of Barabbas, the name Jesus, Yeshua aspect, was dropped by the church because they didn't want to add that to it. But the Revised Standard Version, dealing with the old manuscripts, kept it there, Jesus Barabbas. The exchange was made between Jesus, the true Son of God, and Jesus, the Son of the Father, who fell, who represented the fallen ones, who represented the people that have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus Barabbas was doing things based on his might and his power. He was an insurrectionist. He was a terrorist fighting against the government of Rome. And Pilate, sitting in the seat of authority, said, "Who do you want me to give to you? Do you want Jesus the Christ, or do you want Jesus the Son of the Father?" And the people, the Bible says, were moved by the leadership of the day to choosing Jesus Barabbas. But Jesus Barabbas is a fake. That's the flip side of the coin. The flip side of the coin is that today there are messages being shared with us and actions that we do take that cause us to choose Barabbas instead of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, the real deal. Every day, governments make us to make choices. The school division makes us make wrong choices. The sporting, you know, wow, if you want your children to play any kind of sports, you got to play it on Sunday, eh? Yeah, everything, whatever it is that has to do with God, they want us to make the choice not to choose God, but to choose the world. Like, your kids are going to become this millionaire soccer player, basketball player, everybody becomes that. Now, tell you what, if you've got the goods and you know how to do it from Monday to Saturday, huh? If you got the goods, the day that you show up, God is a God who overturns and causes you to shine brightly. And even though you did not play on Sunday, somebody will spot you and say, this guy knows how to play. We want this one. The challenges we face to choose Barabbas instead of Jesus. There's a flip side of that coin. Because Barabbas represents the Antichrist on the other side of the coin. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you were not here on Friday, you don't. I know Barabbas represents you and I, and Jesus switching places with us. We get saved, and Jesus dies for us. I know that. But there's more to that story about Barabbas than just that switch. It is the switch of the fake, choosing the fake, choosing that which is not true, that which is not eternal. And we're made to choose wrongly. If you don't know what you believe and why you believe what you believe, somebody's going to move you from the truth to something that is false. That's why every one of us must know why we believe what we believe. Barabbas represents the Antichrist. And the religious leaders that move the people represents, in real terms, the fake church that has been established today. And that church, it's not just a group of people somewhere. You know, people say, well, it's a Catholic church. Who told you that? It's not just a Catholic church. It's any church that does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and that Jesus Christ paid a perfect price for us to experience supernatural change. Any church that preaches that you can continue in sin is part of that false church. Hello. So we talked about Barabbas. And then we went on and we talked about the cross. What happened at the cross? We talked about that yesterday and talked about the fact that the cross marked the end of the world. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, I believe it's verse 24, tells us. Put it up for me. Wrong verse. Let me get it correct. Praise the Lord. You have it? Okay, 26. Thank you. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once. Somebody say now once. Now once in the end of the what? World. Hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hallelujah. Where did he do the sacrifice? At the cross. And at the cross, the world ended. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so when you get born again, you start out in a new world, under a new regime, under a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Now, what else happened? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 says to us, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, which was contrary to us. Every ordinance that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Everything that was contrary to us, he did what? Took out of the way. He did what? Took out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Amen? Now, I said to us yesterday that the nailing to the cross was not what anybody did. It was what Jesus himself did. Hallelujah. By faith, the Lord Jesus Christ took everything that was an ordinance against you, everything that was contrary to you, and he nailed it to the cross before he got on there. And so when they nailed him to the cross, all that was contrary to you was behind him. Hallelujah. That means you're not meant to see those ordinances. You're not meant to see the poverty. You're not meant to see the sickness. You're not meant to see the confusion, the fear, the doubt, anything that is contrary to you. You are not meant to see it. All you're meant to see is who? Jesus. Be reminded that the price has been paid in full. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, my problems are behind me. Glory. My problems are behind me. I am ahead of every problem. In the name of Jesus, I am ahead of it. Not behind it. I am not pushing the problem. I have overrun the problem. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus Christ did for you and I. The problem has been resolved. Glory be to God. The Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians. Come with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading from verse 7. Talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the cross was one thing. But after the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ started something new. Amen? He said something new. Don't get stuck at the cross. The cross is where you get stuck. I don't know if you're hearing what I just said. I said the cross is where you get what? Stuck. Jesus got off the cross. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said he got off the cross. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you get off the cross and you experience resurrection life, they don't get to recognize you. Amen. Mary, who had been with him all these years, did not recognize him. The disciples did not recognize him. Because when you experience resurrection life, your past is gone, and something new, something extraordinary happens in your life. They will not recognize you the way you used to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are now new. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I used to be the sick. Now I am the healthy one. Amen. I used to be poor. Now I am rich. Amen. I used to be the victim. Now I am the victor. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Extraordinary changes take place when we experience resurrection life. The Bible says right here in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. He says, but unto every one of us, verse 7, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What is the measure of the gift of Christ? The measure of the gift of Christ is the measure of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that measure of the gift of Christ is a measure of experiencing the fullness of the Godhead. The Bible says in verse 19 of chapter 3, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Filled with all the fullness of God. All that God is full of, all that he is. God says, when you experience my love, when you comprehend my love, you get to be full of me. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. When I am full of God, then I cannot be underneath anything. For God is above all. And whoever it is that God sends, he that came from above is above all. And guess what, child of God? Because of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, you were born from above. You were born from above. You were not born here in the earth realm. You were born in the heavenlies and were dispatched here. You say, wait. How is that possible? I was in Winnipeg. What do you mean? In God, things happen just like that. If you read the Synoptic Gospels, you will hear something like this: Mary, don't touch me. But in another passage, and the reason he says, don't touch me, he says, I have to ascend. In another passage, she's touching and he did not complain. Just as quickly as they were standing there, he's gone and he's back. He says to Nicodemus, watch this. In John chapter 3, Don't forget about Ephesians. I'm coming back there. In John, the Gospel of John chapter 3, look at this statement here. Look at this statement. In verse 12 and 13 being the verse that I want to talk about. It says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of what? Heavenly things. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which what? Which is, not was, not will be, which is. He says, right now that I'm talking to you, I'm in heaven. Oh, glory. Right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm in heaven. And when you got born again, you were born in heavenly places, and you were like that. It just happened like that. Boom, it's done. Done. That's why you can be an ambassador. That's why you can be an ambassador. Listen, if you were born in Canada, you cannot be an ambassador of Canada in Canada. You can be an ambassador in Jamaica. Born Canadian, you can be an ambassador in another country, but not, you know. So you were born somewhere else. You were born in heavenly places. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to what the Word of God says. I'm coming to John, to Ephesians. I'm still coming there. Listen to what the Word of God says in the book of James. It says to us in the book of James that every good and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of what? Lights. Because you are not an ordinary human being. You are a light being. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
You are what? A light being. Because the Father of lights only gives birth to light, just like goats give birth to goats. Cows give birth to cows. Father of light gives birth to light. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, and watch the next verse, of his own will begat he us. How? With the word of truth. Someone said the word of truth. If you are born again, you are only born again with the word of truth. That means that if you are born again any other way outside of word of truth, you are not born again. Because the word of God is an incorruptible word. You were birthed with an incorruptible word, an incorruptible seed. Hello? That we should be a kind of what? First fruits of his creatures. Who's the first fruit? Jesus himself. So we become a kind of, the type of what? The resurrected Jesus. How did he operate? The Bible says the doors were shut, but he came inside. He didn't need anybody to open the door. I tell you, child of God, when the power of God is alive inside of you, you don't need anybody to do anything for you. You just go and you show up where you need to show up. Somebody shout hallelujah. The power of God transforms everything about you and causes you to be extraordinary. That's what God came to do for us when he hung on the cross. But beyond the cross, he went to the grave and he defeated the devil. He seized the keys of life and death and the grave of the devil. I said, give me that thing. You don't have any control over them anymore. You don't have a chance anymore. I am in charge henceforth. God is in charge of my life. No devil, no witch, no satanic force can stand against the authority of God in my life. I go wherever I want to go, do whatever I want to do, because that's what resurrection life is all about. Somebody shout. God is doing something extraordinary in us and with us. We're kind of the first fruits of his creatures. Every seed produces after its kind. God does not give birth to dogs.
Amen.
Mama. Ephesians chapter 3 or chapter 4. Bible says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. The Lord said to me yesterday, he said, today I want to release gifts into the lives of my sons and my daughters. Something is going to be activated in you today in Jesus' mighty name. Every dormant gift shall receive life, the infusion of God's life. It's going to be activated today. you are going to begin to experience things and do things that you never thought possible, because the gift of God will begin to work a work in you and through you and for you. And God Almighty, He will do extraordinary things for you. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You and me operating in an anointing that cannot be stopped. Word of God says, and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it? But that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Why? Jesus, our Lord, taught us, except you bind the strong man, you cannot spoil his house. He went to bind something. Hallelujah. He that descended is the same also that ascended up, far above all what? Heavens. That he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Why? For the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. God, in Christ Jesus, displayed the power of resurrection so that you and I can be true representatives of Him. Let me say that again. He died, He rose again from the dead, He ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father so that you and I can receive gifts so that we can represent Him well. Amen? So that we can do what? Represent Him well. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby the lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, growing up into Him in all things, growing up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I don't know if you hearing what the Word of God is saying. He says that we grow up in Him. Amen. We grow up into Him. We grow up into what? Into Him. We grow up into what? Him. We grow up into what? Him. I want to be like Mike. Huh? We grow up into Him. We grow up to be like Him. Oh, yeah. We start walking like Him. You know, many years ago, I had not been home for a long time. And I flew back to Nigeria after about 10 or so years being away, and I came to the airport, and I went to see if I could do some foreign exchange because I needed to, some cards and stuff like that, and to pay the handlers that will be helping me. And as I was walking, my sisters were out watching, looking in. And we'd not seen each other. And they didn't see my face clearly, but they saw me walking. And they said, when we finally met each other, said, we knew that was you. I said, how did you know? He said, we knew from how you walked.
Yeah, that's right.
I was with my sisters just a few days ago, and I was watching them. I was watching them talking and how they were gesturing and their mannerisms. And I said, look at this. They act like my father. They're moving their hands, look like just like father. When you grow up into him, you start acting like him.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes.
May grow up into him. In some things, no, in all things. Which is the head? Even Christ. You know why it goes on and says, which is the head? Because it's talking about the fact that you start thinking like him. You start talking like him. You start hearing like him. You start seeing like him. You start speaking like him. Everything about the head, you're growing up into. This is what God was doing. Because everything he came to do, he did for you. He did for me. He was God all the time. It was us that fell from our Godship. Is that too much? Listen, the reason the devil became the God of this world was because the God of this world traded his Godship for a piece of fruit. Are you with me? Jesus came and got it back. And he said, all power, all what? Power. All authority. It's now mine. And I'm giving it to you. Go preach. Go tell your brothers. Go tell your sisters. Go tell your neighbors. We are free. We are no longer under captivity. We are no longer under bondage. We are free people. The emancipation has taken place. It is finished. Yeah. Hallelujah.
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 That's what it's all about. Everything Jesus, our Lord, came to do, he came to do for you and for me. He wants you to grow up into him. He wants me to grow up into him. One body. The body of Christ. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Where are the shoulders? On the body. God puts you here to govern. But you know what we've done? We've left the governance of the world to the devil and his kids, to those who do not know God. Why under God's heaven are Christians not in politics? Why are they not running the financial system, the educational systems? Why? When the Lord says, occupy till I come. Is that what he said? But we, oh no. Oh, politics is dirty. Go make it clean then.
Yes.
Clean it up. Be the godly man, be the godly woman who's running things, or else there are going to be demonized people telling us what we're going to do, how we're going to act, and sue you, the parent, and tell you, you the parent, that you have no rights over your children because the government does. And if the child does anything wrong, they come and get a hold of you because you did not take care or handle your children. But you don't have any rights. You don't have any control. How did all this foolishness happen? Because we made room for it. Because we don't understand that we are called to occupy. Bring about transformation. Ch- child of God, we must stop being self-centered and selfish. If we love God and we love God as we say we do, then we must love people. Amen? Amen. We must what?
Love people.
Because the God that we say we love loves people. And if we're going to represent him and grow up into him in all things, then we got to love like God loves. That makes sense?
Yes.
That means we don't hold grudges. That means we're not going about gossiping and backbiting and being jealous and envious and doing crazy stuff, acting wickedly. No, we walk in love. We want people to get ahead, and we want to be the blessing that God has called us to be to all people. Do you receive that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Now, let me go just make a quick shift. Come with me to the book of Luke 21. Luke 21. This is the area, verse 1 through 4. I'm stepping into the area that was of concern to me, because I did not want to see the association between this subject I'm about to address now and resurrection. The Lord pointed out to me, he said, listen, son, I had one focus other than talking about end time stuff. I had one focus. At the end of the ministry, my ministry here on earth, I had one focus. I wanted people to understand two things. I said, Lord, what is it? And began to unfold the word to me and bring it clearly to me. And there is Luke 21. He says this. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. Destroying. And goes on. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in hither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury, or from her poverty, has cast in all the living that she had. All the what? The living that she had. This woman threw everything. This is the biggest sacrifice. She threw everything in. I said, okay, so what's the point? He said, come on. Come with me. Mark 14, verse 1 to 11. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover. Now we're talking about the first one I just read to you in Luke 21. This is at the end of his ministry. He's just about to go die. And he's sitting in the synagogue, and what is he watching? He's watching how people are given. He says, and after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. Are you with me so far? But he said, not at the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Let me go to my passage here. It says, we're not going to do that now. It is the feast of the people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, or spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. When Jesus is going to go and is going to be whipped and terrorized, in the midst of all of that anguish, guess what he's doing? He's smelling good. Are you with me? He is what? Smelling good. Glory be to God. Why is he smelling good in an ugly situation? Because of somebody's giving. Somebody gave sacrificially. Are you with me so far? Okay. Let's go on. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Why did he wait? You know, they got offended. And there's something about offense. And it is still true, you know, till this very day, that people get offended when giving is brought up. And this child of God was my greatest concern. I'm going to be talking about what Jesus went through from leading to his dying and to his resurrection, and I'm going to be talking about giving. What connection? Oh my God, what are you trying to do to me? People are going to start writing all kinds of things about me. Oh my God, what? But the greatest gift, everything about the cross and resurrection. And after he rose, the Bible says he gave what? Gifts. It's all about giving. God is all about giving. From his death to his resurrection, it was all about what? Giving. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Watch this. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. Liars, liars. And they murmured against her. Jesus knew these guys are lying. They're talking about giving. It's just like people today. Yeah, why is it? Okay, really, really, really. Verse 6. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good, what?
Yeah.
Work on me. She's done a good work on me. From what? From her giving. 7. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me, ye have not always. Verse 8. She had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint what? My body to the burying. What happened? Go back. Verse 8. She had done what she what?
Could.
She is come aforehand, beforehand, ahead of time to anoint my body. For what?
Burying.
To the burying. Whose house was she? Simon the what? The leper. Do you know who Simon the leper was? Simon the leper was the father of a guy called Judas Iscariot. What is Judas doing? Judas is busy trying to collect. Trying to get. The Lord says in verse 9, watch this. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of her of for a memorial of her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And verse 10. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went where? Why? He's offended. Went off unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. One person is busy giving, and the other one is trying to get something. Are you with me? This is a sign of the end of the age. And that's why I've told you for years now that the time is coming that your giving is not going to be reciprocated with the government giving you tax refund because you gave. They're going to stop it. Are you listening to me? They're going to stop it, and that's when we're going to know whether you are for real. Whether you're a true giver or you give them, because next April or next May, when I file my income tax, somebody's going to give me money back. You know, there are people in Africa, they don't get any tax returns like that. You just pay. So you got to give for real. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's coming. I've been telling you for years. It's not long now. It's coming. It's not because I'm prophesying it. It's just the way it's going to be. Hallelujah. Now, verse 11. He went. It says, and when they heard it, they were what? Glad, and promised to give him what? Money. Yeah, he's going to give it to the poor, right? And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Let's look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 6 through 16. Go through this. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, when he understood, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she had wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my, what? Burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman had done, be told for a memorial of her. Hallelujah. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests. And said unto them, what will ye give me? What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of what? Silver. Verse 16. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Wow. The Lord says in John 12 and verse 24, talking about giving, it says, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it what? Abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Remember the statement of the woman, of Mary, in... You know, sometimes we lose sight of what God is trying to communicate. She's out there, she's checking out the tomb, and Jesus is behind her, and she supposed that she was what? A gardener. A gardener. Well, they had soldiers there, didn't they? Why didn't she suppose that the guy behind her, was one of those soldiers that were posted? Why is it gardener? Because God wanted to get us to a point to reference gardening with sowing. Are you with me? Are you with me? Resurrection connected with sowing, harvest, increase, change. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to wrap up in just a moment. Jesus is at the cross and he needs to be buried. And so they found a poor man. Yeah? They found a poor man who had lots of property. No? Come on, help me here. It was a poor man. No? Guess what he found? Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse 57. When the even was come, there came a what? A poor man. Yeah? A rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was what? Jesus' disciple. So Jesus' disciple, there's a Jesus' disciple that is what? A rich. It was not the poor ones that used for this final stage. It was the what? Rich. I got to be rich. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple, verse 58. He went to Pilate, because rich people have access. He went to Pilate. He went straight to the palace, to Pilate. Pow. It was not Peter or any of them. It's Joseph, the rich one, that went to Pilate. Hey, buddy. You got to fix this. Fix what? The man has to be buried. And begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. 59. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and what? Departed. In essence, Jesus, this belongs to you. Brand new. Someone say brand new. Brand new. Never used. This was something he had for himself. And now he's letting Jesus use it. He had no idea that Jesus was going to rise again from the dead. He was clueless to that. He thought this was a permanent thing. It's handed over. John. I'm going to end with this. John 20 and verse 17. I'm making another shift. And then I'm going to pray with us. Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not." Now that's an interesting word. The word here, "touch me not," is a word, a Greek word that signifies that she was busy holding on to him.
And the idea was, hey, Jesus, you are here. Stay here. Stay here. Stay the way you used to be. Stay here and set up your kingdom. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus says, no. That's not it. I didn't rise from the dead to stay the same way. Oh, yeah. I didn't rise up again from the dead to stay the same way. I am going higher.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to my Father and your Father.
Yes.
I'm going to my God and your God. I'm not staying here the same way. I'm making a shift. And I'm going to complete this shift. I'm not just going to go part of the way. I'm going all the way. You know why? I was always on his mind. Yeah. All Jesus was doing from the beginning to the end was thinking about me, was thinking about you.
Amen.
Hello. He'd already taken care of himself. It was now about you. It was now about me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He wanted to make the connection between you and God. He says, in that day, you're not going to have to ask me anything. You're going to ask the Father directly. God, come on. He's your Papa too. Talk to him. Have a discussion.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
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 You have an open door. I have an open door. I have access. You have access. We can talk to our Father. He loves us with an everlasting love. Do you receive that?
Yes.
Do you really receive it?
Yes.
Then let every one of us challenge each other to act like it. If you see me acting less than I should be acting, less than what Jesus should be acting as, then poke me and say, hey, remember who you are. You're a representation of the living God. You represent him. So act right. Amen?
Amen?
When sickness wants to come, take possession of your body. You say, no. This is finished. He had taken that which was contrary to me out of the way. And when he took it out of the way, he did what? Nailed it to the cross. Done. And he said, it is finished.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It is what?
Finished.
Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Then let's act like it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
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 Resurrection is connected to our giving. Why did God give? He gave for souls. Amen? Today, I want our giving to be very, very, very particular. You may be somebody here today that is a giver of two mites, and that's all you've got. You may be somebody here today that has much to give, and that's also good. But we must give like our Lord God gave, and he gave because of souls. And I shared a word with you maybe about a month or two back, and that word was this, that there's only one true kind of giving that produces results. Do you remember what I said? What was it? Giving for souls. So today, I am going to ask you to do the same thing with me. I've taught you for a while, for years, that the power to answered prayer is hearing from God first. God, what do you want me to do? How do I solve this problem? And God speaks to you and you obey the instruction. Well, I talk to the Lord. I say, God, how do you want me to respond to things today? How do I deal with this particular issue? And I was presenting something to him. And he said, I need this amount from you today. Okay. I said, I have that amount? He said, yes, it's in your wallet. So I opened my wallet, and sure enough, exactly what he said was supposed to be in there, was there. So I said, okay, I will do that. And then he said, now don't put it under tithes and offerings. I want you to put it under order. So I said, okay, I'll put it under order. What's the order for? I finished. And just when I was about to drop the pen, he said, write souls. I tell you what, this is the first time in all my life as a believer that I am given, and I always give for souls. Every time is, but I have written down S-O-U-L-S. I'm going to invite you to do the same thing with me today. I want your giving to target souls. And say, God, I want souls saved. You came, you died so that souls may be saved, redeemed, sanctified, and made holy, so that souls can be resurrected by your resurrection power, so that people can ascend and be seated with you in heavenly places. I am sowing for souls. I come into agreement with what you came to do. Will you do that with me today? Yes. Hallelujah. Those of you listening online, will you do the same thing today? So